السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, a few months ago, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we started to discuss the topic of the scale. And we made mention that on the day of judgment for each person there will be a scale. And his good and his bad deeds will be placed on that scale. What Allah put in the mind at that time is that we should try to search for those actions through the Quran and through the profound statement of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that enable us to secure actions that will be weightiest on that scale. So for that reason we made mention of certain fine details pertaining to the scale. And then alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, in the last few weeks we covered a few adhkar, a few actions that are known to be weightiest on the scale. Just to reconnect with what we spoke about in regards to those a'mal, we made mention of a principal hadith pertaining to a few adhkar, a few sentences, a few adhkar that are weightiest. The principal hadith is the last hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, in which Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said kalimatan khafifatan ala al-lisan. It is a very well known hadith. Kalimatan khafifatan ala al-lisan thaqilatan fil mizan habibatan ila ar-rahman subhanallahi wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explicitly makes mention that there are two adhkar that are very, very light on the tongue, but they are most weightiest on the scale, and they are very, very dear to Allah, the most beneficent. And then the Nabi of Allah highlights those two adhkar, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. So this was our principal hadith. Then we searched for different sayings of the Nabi of Allah pertaining to adhkar, remembrances that are linked with Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. So we made mention of Subhanallah a few weeks ago, and we made mention of Alhamdulillah as well. That is part of Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. But I would like to conclude the topic of Alhamdulillah with two ahadith. We have come to know to say Alhamdulillah, or to praise Allah, or to thank Allah for the countless bounties. This is known as Hamd. To thank Allah for the countless bounties, to praise Allah Almighty, is a weightiest amal. It will be very, very heavy on the scale. So in relation to that, I would like to make mention of two ahadith in addition to the ahadith that we covered in the past. So the first hadith has been recorded by Imam Tirmizi on the strength of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا مررتم برياض الجنة فارتعوا. That when you pass the gardens of Jannah, فارتعوا, فارتعوا, graze to your heart's content. So it's just like a flock of sheep. They go to the fields and they graze in the field. And they do not return until their stomach is full. So the Nabi of Allah says, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ, that the flock of humanity, the flock of humanity, when you pass the gardens of Jannah, فَرْتَعُوا, graze, eat, to your heart's content. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that the Sahaba, they said, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the gardens of Jannah? Qala alayhi salatu wa salam, hilakud dhikr. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the gardens of Jannah are the gatherings in which Allah is remembered. In which Allah is remembered. So first of all, those gatherings in which Allah is glorified, tasbih is made, or tahmid is made, or takbir is made, or tahleel is made, or any other kind of dhikr, we should try to be in that gathering. Because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not addressed these gatherings with a normal address. He has labeled these gatherings as Riyadul Jannah, the gardens of Jannah. And we may mention in the past that the best form of dhikr is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. Best form of dhikr is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. In addition to this, there's another hadith reported by Imam Tirmizi on the strength of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that is very similar to this, but there is extra information to the hadith that we have just discussed. But it is very, very similar. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Idha marartum bi riyad al Jannah farta'u," that when you pass the gardens of Jannah, graze to your heart's content. Kultu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ, what are the gardens of Jannah? In the previous hadith, the Nabi of Allah said, the gardens of Jannah are حِلَكُ الذِّكَر. In this statement, the Nabi of Allah says, رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ الْمَسَاجِد, are the mosques. The masajid are the gardens. The masajid are the gardens. قُلْتُ وَمَرَّتْ, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the grazing in these gardens, in these masajid? Qala alayhi salatu wa salam, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So, praising Allah, saying alhamdulillah, is one of the weightiest amal that a person can take from this mortal world into the immortal world. So that's why I have made mention many a times before that one of my dear mashaykh, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, when he was here, one of the things that I observed, because many a times you learn so much by observation. Not by words, by observation. Words are not so strong. Actions are stronger than words. I found that every second or third sentence that he used to utter was Alhamdulillah. And many a times you will say that, why is he saying Alhamdulillah? He's not eating anything. He's not enjoying an apparent bounty. But he used to say Alhamdulillah. So I asked him, why do you say Alhamdulillah? He said that I may not be eating, but I am living. I am inhaling, exhaling. I am breathing. I am living. I am using this body. Allah has given me numerous bounties. This body is a bounty in itself. It is operational. It is active. It is functioning. I have to say Alhamdulillah. So Alhamdulillah is a taqiyya kalam. It should be a utterance that we make so often that we become habituated to it. Why do I say habituated to it? Because in this dunya, there are certain things that even without activating the mind, we do it. Without activating the mind, we do it. Because it becomes intrinsic. It becomes inborn. Inshallah, when we make it to Jannah, we will breathe. With every breath, we will make the dhikr of Allah. But this is without activating the mind. Because there is no mehnat, endeavor in Jannah. And the first step of endeavor is to activate the mind. So we will remember Allah, we will make the dhikr of Allah while we are breathing in or out without activating the mind. It will be natural to us, intrinsic. So the scholars have said, we say Alhamdulillah initially by activating the mind. Because if our mind is not activated, our tongue will not make the dhikr. May it be Subhanallah, may it be Alhamdulillah. But once we have established firm connection with this dhikr, you can deactivate the mind and you will find that you are still saying Alhamdulillah. Because now this has become part and parcel of your tongue. The makeup of your tongue is not to taste only, but by this constant effort, it becomes part and parcel of the tongue to make this dhikr of hamd. That's why Imam Ghazali rahimahullah makes mention in Ihya'ul Ulum that how will a person know that he is punctual in his salah? How will he know that a person he is punctual in salah? He has to activate his mind before going to sleep that I am going to wake up for Fajr. Before Dhuhr, he activates his mind, it's time for communication. There is a force within that is pulling him away from this noble communication. He takes the challenge, he entertains the challenge, and he fights this challenge off, he wards this challenge off. Challenge of the base self. And he prays. He falls asleep after Maghrib, and then he realizes in his sleep, oh, that I have not prayed Isha, and he wakes up at 10 o'clock to establish his Isha. It is an effort. But he remains committed to this effort over a period of time. And then what happens? Salah becomes a part of his life. Where he does not have to worry about his salah, the salah will take care of him. Just like, beautiful saying by Imam Ghazali, Allahu Akbar. He says in the start, the child takes care of the parent. And when the child grows old, the child takes care, the parents take care of the child. When the child is young, parents are taking care of the child. And when this child becomes old enough, then he can walk on his two feet, earn his sustenance. At that time, the parents have become old, the child will take care of the parents. The roles have changed. So in the start, we take care of our salah. We take care of our salah by activating the mind. But once we have established sound relationship with our salah, then the salah will take care of us. Then the salah will say, no, you pray, and it will be natural, it will flow. It will not be an effort. It will be a station of ecstasy, a station of enjoyment, a station of pleasure. But to attain that station, or to arrive at that station, a person has to make a constant effort. So many a times people say that religion has become boring. Let's be practical. A lot of people say, youngsters say, imams are very boring. Wake up, pray 5 times a day. Can't do this, can do this. The reason behind it is we are following the divine constitution right now. But once we have met the divine constitution, then the divine constitution takes care of us, meaning that it becomes part of our life, that without it we cannot survive, we will suffocate. Without it we will suffocate. Right now, without it, we will not suffocate, because it has not become part of our life. So returning back to the topic that we are discussing, that we say Alhamdulillah so frequently, by activating the mind, by enforcing this dhikr, until a time comes that when we turn off, we still utter this dhikr, we cannot forget it. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say about the Sahaba, he said that the Sahaba, and these are my words, loose translation of what he used to say, without activating their mind, if they were to practice, their practices were in conformity with the life of the Nabi of Allah. Sochne ki baat. Without activating their mind, if they were to do something, if they were to do something and they were to check after their doing, they will find that it is in conformity with what the Nabi of Allah did. Because the life of the Nabi of Allah became part and parcel of what the Sahaba were. So think about it. When they activated their mind, what was the level of their spirituality? That one person, he wears shoes without thinking. If it was a Sahabi, automatically his right foot will enter before the left, without thinking. If they were to wear clothes, their right hand will enter before the left, without thinking. And the reverse when taking off. If they were to enter the bathroom without thinking, they will enter correctly and they will recite the dua at that certain time, without thinking. Because it became intrinsic. It became part and parcel of their life. Allahu Akbar. We have not reached that stage. That's why it seems like boring. We have not developed the mahabba of Allah Almighty yet. Because when Allah becomes our Habib, becomes our Mahbub, then all the orders of Habib become Habib to us as well. Right now, it is enforced. Ek mushakkat hai. Baaz dafa log kehte musibat. Many a times people say it's a musibah, this praying, because they have not established. And many a times we cannot attain khushu and khudu in the prayer, because that level of hub has not entered. That's why I say to myself and to all my noble brothers and sisters listening, always in your du'as you ask Allah for His hub. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubban. Hub. Hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk. That grant me your love and the love of those that love you. Grant me your love and the love of those that love you. Because if I can't attain your love directly, I will attain your love through the ones that love you. Sochne ki baat. Why did the Nabi of Allah say, Allahumma inni asaluka hubbak? He should have concluded the statement, but he says, وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكُ. Ya Allah, grant me your love, or grant me the love of those that love you. Because many a times I can't cover the journey on my own accord. I can't. One person says, I can drive alone to Sydney. One person says, I can't. Can you come with me? gappe shappe lagayenge. We will talk to each other, we will chat on the way, we will enjoy, we will drink tea, we will stop at the fuel station, so on and so forth, and 10-12 hours will pass in gapshap, in talk. And many people say, I can travel alone. The Nabi of Allah says, Allahumma inni asaluka hubbak, Ya Allah, grant me your love. Now this was the direct communication of the Nabi of Allah. وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ, or grant me the love of those that love you. Because I can't travel alone, because when I travel alone, I am afraid that I may lose focus. I know the track is very, very straight. You know, you get onto the highway, it's 1,000 k's, it's straight. But I may fall asleep and find myself in a town. Ooh, off the highway. You're weak. You'll fall asleep. So connect yourself with the hilaku dhikr. Connect yourself with those that are mahbub to Allah. Those that are mahbub to Allah, you connect yourself. Travel with them. Because where they are going, they will take you as well. So alhamdulillah is a most important dhikr. It is most weightiest on the scale. The next dhikr, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, and the next dhikr, la ilaha illallah. Kya kane la ilaha illallah? What can I say about la ilaha illallah? All bounties that you and me receive in this dunya, and we are to receive on the day of judgment, is due to this la ilaha illallah. If you and me are devoid or deprived of this la ilaha illallah, then in the eyes of Allah, we are worse than animals. That's why in the hadith of Tirmidhi reported by Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala and the Nabi of Allah says, afdalu dhikr la ilaha illallah. The most superior dhikr is la ilaha illallah. Today in this one statement of the Nabi of Allah, we'd like to highlight through the profound words of the Nabi of Allah the strength of la ilaha illallah. So when we know that we have something that is so valuable, that is going to allow us to move through that very lengthy day with ease. And not only move through that lengthy day with ease, but to move with honor and dignity. And this la ilaha illallah is going to safeguard us from the horror, the pain that that day contains. Shouldn't we hold on to it firmly? If a person has a diamond, or he has cash, diamond, he covers it. How do we cover it? Put it in the blanket, safe box, cover it. We safeguard it. We realize its importance. But wallahi, that if that diamond is taken away, we will still survive. We will still live. We will cry one or two or three days, but we will still live. Many a times a person is on the heights of commodity. He possesses so much. The next day, he is on the bottom of the hill. He will cry two, 3 days. He can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but he survives. But if a person is deprived of la ilaha illallah, he will not survive. So Imam Tirmizi has recorded, and Imam Ibn Majah has recorded in Ibn Majah on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and this beautiful statement of the Nabi of Allah that gives us insight to how the Akhirah is going to unfold, gives us an understanding at the same time of the weight of La ilaha illallah. So Nabi Akhiri Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that on the day of judgment, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُخَلِّسُ رَجَلٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَلَا رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. There's 300-400 people here. If I was to stand like this, and my noble brother Mubarak says, I've got something that I want to say about Imam Uzair, he did something wrong, pani pani ho jaunga. I will collapse. Internally, externally, I will collapse. There's only 200-300 people. I can move away from Brisbane and go to another city, never to see you again. There is a destination where I can escape all of you. But Brother Mubarak says, I've seen Imam Uzair do something and I want to share it with each one of you. I cannot even endure that moment. If I think about it, I'll sweat. I'll be scared. True. Think about it. The Nabi of Allah says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُخَلِّصُ رَجُلًا مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِكِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That on the day of judgment, mankind is standing. Present, past generations, future generations, people that we knew, people that we have never seen, but we have heard of and we have read about, people that are to come. How many people? There's about 7 billion people right now. How many human beings? Allah, amidst that entire group of humanity, will address one person and say, come forward. Allahu Akbar. Everyone is there. The prophets are there. The Anbiya, the Sulaha, your parents, your friends, everyone is there. The entire makhluk is there. Ala ru'usil khala'iq yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of judgment. Now Allah Almighty will address this person. Allah will unfold His registers. His registers, sijillat. Sijillat, registers will be unfolded. In the hadith it has been made mention, 99 registers will be unfolded. Allah Almighty will say to this one person, in front of everyone, أَتُنْكِرُ مِنْ هَذَا شَيْئًا أَتُنْكِرُ مِنْ هَذَا شَيْئًا. Can you deny anything that has been recorded in these registers? أَوَلَمَكَ كَتَبَتِ يَدْ. Can you count anything from this? Can you pinpoint anything out of this that is incorrect? أَظَلَمَكَ. Those that were writing, have they wronged you? That the angels that are writing, have they wronged you? So he will look. He will look through these registers. And he will say, لَا يَا رَبْ نِيَا اللَّهِ. I can't. It is all correct. Then Allah Almighty, how just, Allah will say, أَلَكَ عُذْرٌ. أَلَكَ عُذْرٌ. Do you have any excuse? When I was reading this, an incident came in my mind. Once I was driving very fast, many, many years ago, not myself, but the person that was driving with me is sitting here as well. So we, in front of Garden City, somebody rang me that my mother is in hospital. True story. So what happened is, we made a U-turn at the lights of Garden City, and it was a red signal, because we were in a rush to make it to the hospital. My mother is in the hospital. So immediately the police, stop. He said, do you know that you brought the red signal? I said, yes. He said, Alaka udhrun, do you have any excuse? I said, do you have any excuse that you did that? Even they give you this chance. And we said, yes. He said, our mother is in the hospital. He says, all right. Which hospital? Give us the name. We gave the name because we were true, and we left. We didn't hear from that police again. Some people try this, but they're lying. They're caught out. So most probably he made his inquiry and found out that my mother was in the hospital, so he didn't check after that. So even breaking the law, alaka udhrun, do you have an excuse? If you have that excuse, the police of this world will let you go. If you have an excuse, Allah will let you go. Alaka udhrun, kya hai tumhare paas? Do you have any excuse? La ya Rabb, ya Allah, I don't. Because you can deceive the law enforcement, but you can't deceive Allah. La ya Rab, I have no excuse. So what does Allah Almighty say to this person? That You have no excuse, so the judgment is going to be made. Bala, inna laka indana hasana. Yes, you have seen the 99 registers unfolded in front of you. It is pitch black. It is pretty dark. It's pretty dismal. There's nothing good in it. Bala, inna laka indana hasana. We have one good deed of yours. 99 registers, but we have one good deed of yours. وَإِنَّهُ لَا ظُلْمَ عَلَيْكُ الْيَوْمِ. And today is the day that no one will be wronged. فَتُخْرِجُ بِطَاقَةٍ فِيهَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So a small paper, sijillat means registers. Bitaqa, small paper is brought forward. فِيهَا, on this paper is inscribed أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. He looks at this paper, says the entire world is watching. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I know I have failed. One is the failure, and one is this prolonging of what I am experiencing in front of the entire world. This is another failure. Let this stop, so I can move away because everyone's looking at me. Everyone's looking at me. So he said, Ya Rab, ma hadhihi al-bitaqa, ma hadhihi al-sijillat. Ya Allah, what is the significance of this piece of paper compared to these registers? The scholars say he made mention of that because he had no confidence in the value of this one paper or whatever was inscribed on that paper. And secondly, he wanted to get out of this theater because everyone's watching him. So Allah Almighty says no. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُظْلَمُ عَلِيكَ. No one will be wrong today. فَيُوضَعُ السِّجِلَّاتِ فِي كَفَّةٍ وَبِطَاقَ فِي كَفَّةٍ. So the 99 registers will be placed on one scale, and that piece of paper will be placed on the other scale. فَطَاشَتِ السِّجِلَّاتِ. فَطَاشَتِ السِّجِلَّاتِ وَثَّكُلَتِ الْبِطَاقَةِ فَلَا يَثْكُلْ مَعْ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءُ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَثْكُلْ مَعْ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٌ. So on one scale, the 99 registers, on the other scale, one bitaqa, one piece of paper. What will happen is that scale that is hosting that one piece of paper will outweigh the 99 registers. And then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concludes the statement by saying, "Fala yathkul ma'a ismillahi shay." There is nothing that can outweigh the name of Allah. Now, of course, there's commentary to this hadith. I thought in my mind I would better that I speak about it next week, but I have to shed light upon it this week because you will take the wrong message for 1 week. And if you don't arrive here next week, you will take this message wrong for the rest of your life. So one person can say, I say, La ilaha illallah, I can do whatever I want. 99 registers. I have one La ilaha illallah. According to this hadith that Imam Tirmizi has recorded in Ibn Majah, I have made it across the line. No, no, no. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, in Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, he makes mention under this hadith, so he gives commentary to this hadith. He says that this person that was presented in front of the entire world was presented for a few reasons. One of the reasons was that the entire humanity realized the importance, the value, the strength, the potency of La ilaha illallah. Secondly, this person who said La ilaha illallah had 99 registers of evil, that was a reflection of his dark, gloom life. But he said La ilaha illallah once at the end, with ikhlas and with sincerity. With ikhlas and with sincerity. Now when a person says La ilaha illallah with ikhlas and sincerity, it erases the past sins. If a person enters the fold of Islam, it erases the past sins. This person was a Muslim. He said, La ilaha illallah with ikhlas, sidqi dil, with the truthfulness of the heart. These sins were wiped away. But on the Day of Judgment, Allah wanted to demonstrate to humanity that if one La ilaha illallah is on one side, and 99 registers of evil are on the other side, this one La ilaha illallah has the power to wipe the 99 registers. Meaning that he said, La ilaha illallah, and the life to follow that was not a representation of those 99 registers. And then he makes mention further. He gives the hadith that has been recorded by Imam Ahmad in Musnad Ahmad and Imam Bukhari in Sahih al-Bukhari, the very famous incident that the Nabi of Allah makes mention of that lady that was wicked. She was a wicked lady, immodest lady. And she provided water for the dog. We know the story. Allah forgave her. Allah forgave that lady. So she provided water for a thirsty dog. Allah forgave her. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah further comments upon this in reference to the discussion that we are making in Minhaj Sunnah Nabawiyyah, that if every wicked lady is to provide water to a dog, it doesn't mean they will be forgiven. If every immodest lady went out to provide water to a dog, it doesn't mean that they're going to be forgiven. But why this lady was forgiven? Because at that time her amal was adorned and beautified with complete ikhlas, sincerity. With ikhlas and sincerity. And many a times the smallest action that is adorned with sincerity, that a person does it to please Allah, when it reaches the other side, it is greater than a mountain. And many a times, an action that is so large in size, if it is devoid, deprived of ikhlas, when it arrives on the other side, it is not even at the size of a peanut. So the meaning of this is that this person who said, La ilaha illallah with ikhlas, when you say La ilaha illallah with ikhlas, it has the power to erase everything. Now, La ilaha illallah is not a dhikr of tawbah. True? What do we say for tawbah? We say astaghfirullah. We don't say La ilaha illallah. If one person makes a mistake, he doesn't say La ilaha illallah. Doesn't gel. True? One person made a mistake and he wants to make istighfar, he says La ilaha illallah. They say La ilaha illallah is not the dhikr of tawbah, but the byproduct of La ilaha illallah is tawbah. When a person says La ilaha illallah and contemplates upon what is La ilaha illallah, it will compel him to say tawbah. So the byproduct of La ilaha illallah is tawbah. Make sense? That's the meaning, that this person said La ilaha illallah with sidqi dil, with ikhlas, and he made a sincere tawbah after this, that is a byproduct of contemplating upon the words of La ilaha illallah, and Allah forgave the 99 registers of evil. Inshallah, in the weeks to come, if Allah wills, we will shed more light upon this. It is my humble request to all, including myself, keep your tongue moist with the dhikr of Allah. In particular, the third creed of faith throughout the week. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And when you are making this dhikr, even if your mind is not activated, one part of your body is activated, that is your tongue. But if you want to experience the true ecstasy, the true benefit of this dhikr, that is most weightiest, then activate your mind as well. So when you activate your mind and you're driving and you're saying this dhikr, keep your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on the road, but keep your mind to the dhikr. And you will experience a higher level of ecstasy, enjoyment when making this dhikr. Inshallah, we will do that. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma. Wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.